Welcome to Another Day Above Ground, a show for, by, and about baby boomers. It's the podcast for people who have no idea how to download a podcast. And now, here's your host, Dale Irvin.
Well, welcome back, baby boomers and baby boomerettes, to the show that's made just for you. It's the Baby Boomer Podcast, Another Day Above Ground, where we talk about stuff that's interesting to us, because the stuff that's interesting to us, nobody else cares about. So we got to talk about it amongst ourselves. And when I say we, of course, I'm referring to my two partners. First, from the Mile High City of Denver, please welcome Carolyn Strauss.
I don't think you've ever called us boomerettes before. Boomers and boomerettes. I kind of love that. I feel like I need to find my pom-poms, though.
You could be a boomerini. You could be, but boomerette, I think, is a good thing. So
I like it. I like it. Thanks.
Thank God you're finally admitting you're one of us.
And I am not admitting that. I just like the name. I am still not. I'm still at least 49 years old.
Yeah, live in denial. You're going to go see that river, I think. All right. And joining us from Indiana, of course, the Aristotle of comedy, Tim Slagle.
Hey, because of the lagging sales of electric cars, Tesla stock is crashing faster than a self-driving Model 3.
I own Tesla stock. Do not. I am so sad. Do not. I cannot believe. Gold has hit an all-time high, and Tesla is hitting like the lowest it's been in a long time. This is not good.
I own EverReady batteries. They're doing great.
They will always do great, especially if you have a transistor radio for when the world falls apart. The only way to get in touch with people is the transistor radio.
I remember you once telling us that you rode in a Tesla and you loved it because it felt like the future. And because of that, when I was in Texas a couple weeks back, I rented an electric car. And boy, I got to tell you, the future sucks.
Okay, what about it didn't you like, Tim? Let's go into this.
Let's start. First of all, because it's like about the normal height of a regular sedan, but because the entire floor pan is batteries, the door, and I don't know if it's because I'm old, because I'm fat, because I'm inflexible, because I'm tall, I could not get in the thing. I had to actually literally crawl in head first, and then, like I'm getting into a space capsule, then turn around and swing my legs in, and then I couldn't reach out to pull the door in, so I would have to take my leg and extend my leg and loop my foot under the door to get the door closed. And then, of course, when I got in, I didn't want to get out, but you have to every 200 miles.
That's what happened to me. That I was at an event where they had some Ferraris, and I sat in a Ferrari, which was the same problem getting into it. I could not get out. I had to get out crawling, hands first, to get out of that car.
Well, yeah, but that's the thing. If I'm going to look that ridiculous getting out of a car, it better be a Ferrari.
All right. This must be a getting out of a car problem, because I recently, when I was speaking, I don't know, a month or two ago in Texas, and there were seven of us, and we all went to dinner, and we got picked up in one of those, you know, big Uber XL things, like some kind of a Chevy big SUV thing.
Three
rows of seats. And I get in the middle in the back, and there's no door, so you have to climb through to get to the...
Right.
The way the seat is tilted back, where my back was against and my, you know, butt was lower than my knees, I could not get out of the back of that car. They had to tilt the seat in front of me, push it, fold it down, move it forward, and then the guy had to like crawl in and grab my hand. Now, I don't think it's because I'm old, and I think it's the way these stupid cars are designed. I think that's designed for only a child who can crawl through that little space.
Well, Carolyn, if the stories you tell are correct, it's you've always had a hard time getting out of the back seat.
Okay. Now I'm having trouble getting into the damn backseat, Tim. This is not okay.
So did they let you ride shotgun on the way home from the restaurant?
They did, because it was awful. It was because my hips do not fit between the space between the two seats in front of me, right? So I couldn't turn sideways because my butt didn't fit. It's not that it's that ginormous, but I'm definitely not skinny, right? So my butt wouldn't fit. My hips wouldn't move that way. It was, I do not understand new cars, new technology. But let's go back to the Tesla thing for a second, Tim. So the problem I have with it, why would you design an expensive, lovely car with the least comfortable seats in the world? The back seat is like sitting on a bench at an old ballpark.
You know, are you talking about the Tesla again, or
yes?
Because they have to be light, because they have to be light, and there's not a lot of room. I mean, it's the those batteries take up a lot of weight, so the rest of the car is minimalist. That's why they put those stupid iPads on the dashboard rather than having gauges.
And there's an iPad. You can actually play a Crackling Fire on the dashboard of, you know, which is probably an omen for a Tesla.
yeah, you leave it on the charger too long, you don't have to play it. Yeah.
That wasn't on the iPad. That was actually happening.
Oh, okay. Now I get it.
Yeah, I think what's happening is that Hertz is unloading like their entire fleet of Teslas, and I think that's why.
Really?
Nobody's gonna. Wow. Why are you gonna buy one when you know there's a fire sale, so to speak, at Hertz?
We have a friend, actually a friend of the show, who owns an electric car, and she called me the other day and said, "I'm getting rid of this car." Because the charging station that she drove to when she was just about out was down.
Yeah.
So she had no way. It's not like she could go across the street to the other gas station. It's not like she can do what we can do and take a gas can, right, and walk to another gas station, which are never that far away, and fill up her car. No, she could not get the car to move.
Oh,
she had
wow.
to wait for AAA to come.
And tow her to a charging station.
Tow her to a charging station, not the one near her house.
Yeah, because they can't bring her some electricity. Maybe bring her a diesel generator. And
there was another story where I guess it has two battery systems, one to run the car and one to run like everything else, the automatic locks and windows. And that one went out, and a guy was locked inside his own car. He could not get out. He had to call his wife and have her come with a key to get him out because everything shut down and he's stuck in his own car.
Well, that's
so the moral of this story is if you're single, don't buy a Tesla.
Yeah, I just saw that, and it's kind of fascinating that that I don't know what it is. It's like the everything in the Tesla is like 60 volts. I mean the motor and the, you know, all the drivetrain. But in order, everything that's made, window motors and light bulbs and that are all 12 volts. So yeah, you have to have a 12 volt battery to run everything, and that has to be replaced every couple of years. So,
right,
it's the battery. The lithium ion battery is good for 10, but the running everything else battery is only good. And I don't know if they actually have an alternator charging that battery, which is kind of funny that you got an electric car running an electric motor and running an alternator to charge a battery. That's
they should have an alternative method where, like, if you press a button, a mast goes up and a sail, so that at least you could get home if it's a windy day.
Wow. Hey, wait, but how often do you have to replace a battery in a regular car? I have a Jeep, and I know I've had my Jeep for 8 years now. I know I've replaced my battery at least twice.
Yeah, it's about 3 years.
Yeah. Is it?
You're
okay,
probably,
so that
you're,
makes
you're
sense.
Probably That's you're probably time. Due for a new battery.
Yep. And I replaced the tires. Boy, those are not inexpensive these days. My gosh.
Yeah.
They were expensive, but I have a Jeep, so.
Yeah. It's got the big old.
Nothing is inexpensive nowadays.
Everything. I know. Okay, well, I know it's tax day. My property taxes went up a ton. I couldn't believe it. I got my mortgage bill for this month, and I went, what? Like, what? And I called the mortgage company, and I'm like, how can you raise the bill so much? They said, we didn't. Your county did. What?
Yeah. Yesterday, I went to the local county with my tax bill, and I said, you have, like, a senior discount? Sure we do. Fill out this form.
Are you kidding?
Are you over 65? Have you been in the house more than 5 years? I go, yes, yeah, fill out this form.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I got to wait about 15 years, but then I'm going to go and do that. That's great.
And they had an even lower one if you only made, you know, I forget what it was, but I made more than that. But if you're low income, you can, like, get them taken care of altogether.
Huh.
Wow.
And you wonder, there you have it.
And you wonder why.
Senior discount, that's what we live for as baby boomers, is senior discount.
I just heard something that's interesting that then they mentioned Chicago to me. Apparently, there is a confluence of cicadas, the 17-year cicadas and the 13-year cicadas.
Yeah, they're all coming
and
together.
And it's happening to Chicago. And right. They said there's going to be the place where they probably overlap the most is Chicago. Dale, I'm thinking you set up like a perimeter around your house of bug zappers, or you get a whole big vat of chocolate and do a bunch of chocolate-covered cicadas and sell them on the side of the highway.
The only thing that bothers me about them, because they're certainly not dangerous. They won't bite you or sting you. They will eat young trees, but they're noisy. They are so no, because that's their mating call. It's their only chance to get any. They just sleep for 17 years, crawl out of the hole, go, I need to get me some. And they make these loud, loud noises.
So it's kind of like being by a bar at last call.
Exactly. Exactly.
Cicada last call.
But the one tree that I have planted right outside my tiki bar, I planted that, I think, 13 years ago or so when the first cicada brood hit, and they completely stripped it, and I nursed it back to life. But a new tree, yeah, they'll take all everything off of it. Regular, mature trees, they'll leave those alone, but they go for the new stuff, and they'll just eat it down to the bare root.
Well, the mature trees, that's what they feed on. They burrow down into the ground after
right,
they mate.
Right, into the roots, yeah.
And the eggs are laid down there, and then they suck on the roots for 17 years.
Okay. No, Carolyn's shaking her head. I'm not going to make a comment.
I do not understand the reason. Most things in nature, I understand what God or the universe was thinking. Cicadas, I do not understand what she was thinking.
Well, it's same,
some
know,
of us,
got,
some of us actually kind of, off. Some of us actually kind of enjoy that sound. It's
really?
It's the sound of a summer evening. Yeah.
But it gets annoying after the third week.
Hey, will you girls put out already?
Jeez. Enough of this.
Shut these guys up. Can't you hear
that? How long
that?
Are they supposed to be around? Do we know? Do we have any idea, like, how long they last?
A month or so, I think.
And aren't they crunchy? Like, you
no,
step on the
crunchy.
Ground and
they
crunch? They
have recipes. People eat them. There
That's
are
what
recipes
I was saying. Get
for
a big vat
cicadas.
Of chocolate and leave it outside your house, and they'll just dive in there, and then you can just sell them on the side of the street.
Kathy said that the bloom that she had when she was in high school, that her dog loved them, just wanted to go out all the time and just lap them up off the driveway.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, dogs aren't grossed out by insects. And I understand they taste like shrimp. Which
really?
Kind of, yeah.
Dogs or cicadas?
dogs taste like.
We can go to Asia and find out what dogs taste like.
Dogs taste like chicken. You don't have to go as far as Asia. You can go to Venezuela or Cuba,
Koreatown.
There's a big scandal right now is that Tyson's Chicken they closed their plant in Iowa. They closed their, I think it was a pork plant, and they're converting it to a fly plant. They're going to raise flies.
What?
Yeah.
just leave the chicken out for a little while. And flies come.
But I don't understand. Raise flies for what?
Well, that's the interesting part. I think this is fascinating because everyone's getting all grossed out by it. They're, oh, I'm never going to eat anything from Tyson's again. Basically, what happens is that slaughterhouses are not as efficient as they once were because tastes have changed. So there's a lot of slaughterhouse waste that there's nothing to do with, and it actually spoils. So what they intend to do is they're going to ship all this rotten slaughterhouse waste to this plant in Iowa, and raise flies, convert it into flies. And you can use flies for pet food and aquaculture.
Aquaculture?
Yeah, fish farms.
Flies can't live in the water, though.
Fish farms.
Oh,
feed it to the fish.
Okay.
Which is really kind of it's kind of fascinating. Taking this disgusting waste with absolutely no use, and with two steps, convert it into high quality protein.
And this is, what is it, Mike Tyson Farms? So all of the flies will have one wing bitten off.
But as far as pet food, there's a cat food being produced with flies in it, and cats love it.
Did you guys see the Shark Tank episode where the guys came in with cricket powder? And they took crickets and turned it into protein. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, crickets aren't as gross as flies to me. They seem like cleaner little insects to me than flies.
When you wish upon a star.
That's all right. You eat Bambi. Let's not talk about that.
At least when you eat them, they're singing to you, you know, and rubbing their little legs together. Actually, there's a restaurant in Chicago that we've been to several times where they have crickets on the menu. And you can, I never ordered them. I just got a plain omelet. But yeah, they have fried crickets. It's a Mexican restaurant.
Huh.
Oh, so speaking of weird thing, Carolyn is about to embark on a trip to Africa, the Dark Continent. She's going over there for really no reason other than to see Africa, which,
yeah.
You know, wow.
There's other.
I mean, don't you know they have, what do they call it, National Geographic, and all of these beautiful pictures, and you could visit just about anywhere. But
I think I've decided that elephants are my spirit animal, and I've seen them at a zoo, but I want to see ones in their natural habitat. So I'm going to see the elephants.
I have. I went to a circus once.
That's their natural habitat.
Here in America, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Because they stand on two legs just like a person. It's very cool.
Oh, man.
And they do that thing that kind of looks like a Chicago bathhouse. There's a circus that used to come to town here. It was like a real small low rent circus, and they actually had elephant rides. The elephants, you could actually pay a couple bucks after the circus and actually ride one around the ring. That was kind of fun.
That would be cool.
I'd like to
ride an elephant.
Yeah, I did enjoy riding.
I rode a camel once. Huh. But that, you know, that, well, I actually,
one
I
hump
really...
or two.
It was a, I believe, I can't remember. I think it was a one hump. And I didn't really ride it. It was just you got on and you got your picture taken. So,
yeah.
So you still smelled like a camel when you got off, but, you know, you didn't have the bouncing feeling.
Oh, I saw the cutest thing at what was it? I think it was the Columbus Zoo. I think it was. I'm not absolutely sure, but they had camel rides, and we're walking around the zoo all day, and there's this little girl in a wheelchair, and she just was like really good with the wheelchair. She could just like pop up and do wheelies and that, and you could tell that she had spent her whole life in that wheelchair, and she was quite adept at it. And going by the spot where the camel rides are, and she goes by and she stops, and her dad turns around, and And I don't know what she says, but their dad just kind of said, "Well, I don't see a handicap entrance." And she goes, "Could we try?"
Oh, wow.
And as we were leaving, they were waiting in line with her on his shoulders. It was so cute.
Very nice. Very nice. A
little touching story.
Well, I learned something this week because this was the week where we had to pay our taxes, and I learned a couple of things that were important. For instance, I learned that beer is not deductible, even though it's a stress reliever, a sedative, and a mild diuretic through the kidneys. That's not a medical deduction, in their opinion. And you know, it just little things like that bother me, you know. Apparently they don't bother you. But
I'm just. Who did your taxes, Hunter Biden?
He goes God. By Louis the Clam.
Because Hunter, he tried to deduct the cost of Russian hookers.
Which international relations that should be deductible, but oh no. And we're stuck.
Expense.
We're gonna be stuck again between Biden and Trump, and this is just going to be the worst election ever. I'd be surprised anybody goes to the polls.
I've talked to a few people. That the Trump voters that can't vote for him again. Talking about Kennedy.
He's he's a whack job. Kind of. but then again, that's not a limitation anymore to be president. But he's a anti-vaxxer. Doesn't think anybody should get vaccines and stuff. And he kind of talks like he's had a couple of shots of Jack Daniels before he gets up
couple,
there.
Couple he's, too many. He sounds kind of like Catherine Hepburn.
Yeah, that's a very, very good. Where is Ross Perot when we really need him? You know, this would have been the time.
Yeah, this whole election is just a disaster, and it's upsetting because either way we lose, sort of. But in you guys know my opinion, one way we lose way worse than the other way. So I just think civil discourse has kind of gone out the window. And that's the biggest challenge that I have with this whole thing is that you can just make up stuff about people and say awful things and say mean things to people. And it's just expected now. And that's just hurtful.
Yeah. That's the First Amendment for you. That's what we got to get rid of. That damn First Amendment. I'd take that off the books in a heartbeat. I'll
the guy, guy in the Oval Office is doing his darndest to do that.
First Amendment says you have the right to free speech, but not free speech when it hurts people. You cannot go into a crowded theater and yell fire.
Yeah, you actually can.
Can you?
Yeah, that Supreme Court decision was overruled. Yes, is that?
But you cannot go into a fire station and yell movie.
Yeah,
it says, and you can't get pregnant in a movie and do anything about it. So let's just like get so annoyed about what's happening.
Congress shall pass no law restricting the freedom of speech. It doesn't say unless it hurts people.
It has to be nice speech.
No, there was no necessity to protect nice speech. It's offensive speech is specifically the reason why we have a First Amendment.
That's right. So deal with it, Carolyn. Because
I'm going to Africa.
You're going to Africa where there's not. Yeah, tell them about free speech.
Yeah, maybe you can get the Desmond Tutu suite.
But if you come back with your lips disced, you know, that'll really. But just bring Tim and me back a souvenir. I'd like a Krugerrand. And, you know, so.
I don't know what that is.
Well, just get one.
Just get two of them, one for me, one for Tim. They won't cost you too much.
Two cougars, you said?
Krugerrand.
Oh.
Krugerrand.
don't know what that is. I'll have to find out.
Oh, please do. It's going to any store. Tell them you want to buy one. And okay. They'll be more than happy to accommodate you. Anyhow, we've rang the bell, which means it's quiz time here on Another Day Above Ground. Every week we play this little game called Boom Again, which is a great board game for baby boomers. And we ask you three questions from that game. And if you can correctly answer them, we'll send you a free game. Now, if you have the answers, Carolyn, where should they send them?
Send us an email at anotherdayabovegroundshow@gmail.com and give us your answers. And if you're right, we'll send you a game.
And it has to be from this week because yes. I'm about to give you the answers from last week. And we've had people writing in 2 weeks afterwards where they already have the answers.
You know, who's going to read that? Who's going to read that copy once Carolyn's gone?
I don't read it. It's memorized. It's memorized.
If you could record it for us, that would be nice.
Sure.
Oh, crap. I forgot to press record.
All right, here's the questions from last week. See if you can answer these. Name the tallest and the shortest world leaders that marched behind JFK's casket on the way to Arlington Cemetery. They were both wearing uniforms.
I have well, Lurch I thought, and Cousin It.
Very close.
I thought the littlest was John John, but he didn't march and he wasn't wearing a uniform. So
no, it was Charles de Gaulle. From France, 6'5" tall, and Haile Selassie, who was 5'2" tall. So there you go.
Who's
and
Haile,
who was Haile Selassie?
Haile Selassie was the he was from what a Caribbean island. I can't remember which one it is. But it's one of the Caribbean islands.
Boy, it sounds like a medical diagnosis, doesn't it? How are you feeling? Well, I'm Haile Selassie.
I got Haile Selassie. Oh, geez.
Oh, boy. Better do some
tests.
Take
a couple of Krugerrands. Call me in the morning. Okay, we remember the cartoon show The Jetsons. Name all four of them in the order that they're introduced in the theme song.
Meet George Jetson. Jane, his wife.
That wasn't
nope.
Second.
Daughter, Judy.
His boy
Elroy. Elroy was second?
It was, according to this, yeah, daughter, Judy, Jane. And then Jane, his wife, was the last
wow.
one. So.
Huh. We would have got that wrong, Tim.
Yeah,
we
did get that wrong. Yeah.
Well, there you go.
You know what I'm going to Google as soon as this is over.
I thought Jane, his wife, was the second one too, but that's I'm just reading the answers off of the game. And okay. Here's the third question we asked last week. The movie Willard was about a rat. What was the sequel? And who sang lovingly to the rat in the theme song?
Well, that would have been Ben and Ben? Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson. Yes, absolutely right. That leaves us.
And,
with three.
Carolyn's looking puzzled, but I guarantee if you Google that as soon as we get while I'm Googling the Jetsons theme, you'll go, oh, I knew that song. I didn't realize that was about a rat.
Michael Jackson sang to a rat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is so
And then on the B side, he sang to a Krugerrand. So.
No, Google it. You'll go, yeah, I know that song. I didn't realize it was about a rat.
Okay.
There you go. Well, here's our three questions for this week, my friend. So grab a pencil, see if you can figure out these answers, and send them to us if you know the answer. Oh, geez, I got a phone call coming in. Hold on. I'll call you back. I'm doing a podcast. Good day. All right.
Hey, isn't it nice to our listeners? Isn't it nice, listeners, how important Dale thinks you are that he will not even look at who's calling? Say he'll call back.
Well, I think it was probably a listener saying, no, Tim was right. Jane, his wife, was number two.
I thought daughter Judy was second, so that's funny. Okay.
Okay, here's the three questions for this week. Quote, avoid missing ball for high score, end quote, was the basic on-screen instruction. What was the so appropriate title for the 1974 game that looked like table tennis? Mm-hmm. Think about that one. Mm-hmm. Here's our second question. Name the hip and talented guy who drew cartoons for Playboy magazine and also authored the sweet and child-friendly classic, The Giving Tree.
Oh.
That's a good one. And the third one for next week is, in Drive My Car, the Beatles talked about a wannabe star of the screen. How many beeps did they sing before the word yeah? Baby, you can drive my car. How many beeps were there in that song? If you know those answers, send them in where, Carolyn?
To Another Day Above Ground Show at gmail.com. And if you want to buy a game all by yourself, you can go to boomagain.com. You can purchase a game in the checkout page. It says promo code. Use the promo code 10ADAG. And courtesy of Another Day Above Ground, you will get 10% off your purchase.
And you can't beat that, because it's one of the things that's not going up. It's actually going down. That's why it's a discount. Anyhow, my friends, that wraps up today's show. We have come to an end of this the stirring conclusion to this exciting episode. Carolyn, do you have any final words to say?
Yeah, I'm looking up Krugerrands, and they're kind of illegal, apparently. But
No, they're not.
It says they're illegal. It says, are Krugerrands illegal in the United States? The United States banned the import of Krugerrands in 1985.
Oh, I just saw an ad for them on Facebook. So
but that makes it legal, Dale? Seriously?
We're glad we could enlighten you on world currency, Carolyn. Tim, any final words?
Just go to timslagle.com. Find more about the Tim Slagle World Tour.
And I invite you to visit DaleIrvin.com, where you can sign up for the Friday Funnies, and every Friday in your email, I'll make you laugh. Other than that, visit our website, AnotherDayAboveGround.com, and you can listen to all our episodes, learn more about us. But until then, please go out and enjoy the rest of today, because it is Another Day Above Ground.
And that's it for Another Day Above Ground. For Dale, Tim, and Carolyn, I'm Farad Muhammad. Thanks for listening.